But today I wanted to continue our series we started 2 weeks ago, the He's in the Room series. It's the second part of that series. It's called A Purposed Heart. A Purposed Heart. And we want to focus in because the last time we looked at God coming into a situation or a season, a trial, a room, and just by His presence being there, it changes everything. But I want to look at today the choices that led to that moment, that instance where God was literally in the room. And so we'll be reading out of the book of Daniel again, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And while you're turning there, we're just going to open with prayer. Lord, we thank You that You are in charge of everything, God. That You want to be in this place, that You want to be among Your people, and that we surrender to Your will right now in that, God. We ask that You would open our hearts and our minds to receive Your word, implant it in us, and give us direction and help us to apply the desires of Your heart and Your will into our own lives. And we ask this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. You ready, church? All right. Well, I know it's sunny outside, so I would say, you know, God loves the fathers, but it's probably the wives that were praying for a sunny day on Father's Day. Amen? But God is always seeing. We know that He is omnipresent. He sees everything. But there are some moments, I believe, that God likes to watch. What I mean by that is where He leans into, and sometimes He just comes in to the room. We saw that last week with the three in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where God could have just saved them. He could have just stopped the fire, but He rather chose to just be in the room. I want to look at the lifestyle that brings God into the room. Does anybody need that this morning? The lifestyle that brings God into the room, as we realize that, like a parent, God often chooses to walk with us through a hardship rather than just remove it. He wants us to learn something from it. He wants others to see what it is like to walk with God, and that others might come to know Him as well. But in all these reasons, and sometimes it feels like God only knows. You ever been there? God only knows. He likes to be with us. I'm reminded of Psalm 18, 8 through 15, where David just asks, "Keep me as the apple of Your eye." And that means one cherished above others, or one specifically gazed upon. If I can take a moment, I'm going to change mics here real quick. It's my fault. Well, to be honest, pastor's head is just bigger than mine, and this doesn't fit as well. Nice. He's probably watching this right now. But David says, "Keep me as the apple of Your eye. Keep me as the apple of Your eye, cherished above others, specifically gazed upon." And it reminds me of, honestly, when I was dating my wife. I dated her in person for a whole week. It was a great week. There's more to that story. I'll share another time. But when we were dating, we went to a wedding together. And believe it or not, I was pretty infatuated with her. And she told me later that when I got up to do something and some girl sat across the table or leaned across and said, "It's just like there's no one else in the room with you two. There's just no one else in the room." Because church, I was infatuated. She had my attention. She had my attention. And David wants to stay in a position like that. He wants to stay there. He doesn't want to fall out of love with God. He wants God to be watching him all the time, and that's what we should want too. But what makes that happen? What gets God's attention? Well, let's look at our story and what's happening. A little background here. The kingdom of Israel is overthrown. Okay, it's overthrown. Daniel and his friends are children living through this war, and it's the third and final siege of Jerusalem when it's finally just taken down. The king is taken away along with many noble, young, and capable men. And so here we find Daniel and his three friends, and they're living in a foreign place, having been taken from their families, probably at 12 or 14 years old. And they have nothing except the promise of indoctrination from a foreign nation with foreign customs and foreign gods. So these boys had seen war. They had seen famine and rationing of food probably as their city was surrounded for months. But here's a good catchphrase, where the world saw a victim, God saw a victor. I'm going to say that again. Where the world saw a victim, God saw a victor. Because church, we can play that victim role so much that we become associated and accustomed with it. What happened in your past. But God intends just to use it for his glory. As you separate yourself from that victim mentality and you become the victor in Christ and through Christ. He plans on using it for good. And that's not that it was a good thing. It's just he will use it for good. We can spend all day asking, why me? Has anybody asked that? I will admit, I've asked that. Why me, God? Why this time? When God might ask us, why not use this? Why not use this? When we draw close to God, he wants to walk with us through these things so that we can tell others, and then the end result is always that he gets the glory. He gets the glory. How you respond to difficulty, persecution, problems, trials matters to God. It matters to God. How you treat your boss, how you treat your coworkers, how you treat those under you. If you are a Christian, all those relationships are supposed to show who God is to other people, who God is. And those are opportunities for God to work. And so when you have an opportunity, church, take it. Take that opportunity. God is watching with intent, and it pleases him when you choose to be like him. When you choose to be like him. Watch this. Like any parent knows, when a kid inherits a good trait of yours, you love to watch it. Not just the bad traits, right? I love watching my kids and their love for music. I'm praying and I'm trying to shape that into them, that they would learn to sing, that they would learn to write songs. And they do that all the time because I do that all the time. I walk around singing. Like if you're here in the church and you hear some random singing in the back hallway, like I just sing wherever I go. Because the Bible says if you're happy then to sing. It says that in the Psalms. So I like to sing, and I want my kids to take that love to sing and to worship God. But then we have also some of the gifts that are inherited get skewed. We see this. I'll admit, my son is stubborn. And my wife reminds me, that's me. Like that's the part of me in him. He's a little bit stubborn, as she reminds me, screaming through the night and won't go to bed. And so we all have those things that are God-given that we can use for his glory and making sure that they're not skewed in some way. But God watches us. He leans in and wants to walk with us through these things. We are meant to look like our Father. I'm going to just sit on that for a moment. We're meant to look like our Father. Meant to look like our Father. Dads, how are we setting up the future for our kids? How are we setting up their future? We need to make sure we're in the room with them, ready so they just know we're there. One of the most comforting things that I tell myself sometimes is, God's just here. Whatever I'm walking through, he sees it. And I believe because he loves me, because I serve him, because I want to be with him, that he's just here. In the room. Even when I can't see him, he's just in the room. So these four men, Daniel and his three friends, God is watching them. Let's see why as we read Daniel chapter 1, 8 through 21. It's the book of Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 21. Let's read that. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Remember, he brought him into favor. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. And let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before the king's delicacies. Examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with him in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding and visions and dreams. Now at the end of days, when the king had said that these should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king in all the matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all the realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. I'm thankful for the word this morning. Yeah. Amen. Now Daniel showed great willpower and restraint here, especially as a teenage boy who I'm sure wanted to eat everything. Amen. But self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We see that in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I have to remember those, so I act those out. Amen. But I could use a little bit more self-control in my life. I'm going to give you a good example of this. My wife is one of those people who's on the front row here, the beautiful young lady. But my wife is one of those people who are naturally more in shape than I do. And what I mean by that is she can have like cookies and other stuff periodically and be totally fine. You know, they're in the cupboard. She'll forget about them. I'm one of those people who has a chocolate bar hidden in the fridge right now. I could tell you where it is. Is anyone else one of those people? Yeah, I know where every bag of chips is in my cupboard. I know where it all is. I know where it all is. So I'm working on my self-control there. And for me, my self-control looks like I just can't buy that stuff. I can't have it in my house because somebody eats it. I eat it. I eat it. My wife has already told me I cannot have the kids' snacks. We have several children, and they get all the best snacks. But what I also have to tell myself is gluttony is a sin. Amen. That doesn't get said in church a lot. But any addiction is a sin. And these young men had self-control. But why do they have self-control? In verse 8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart. Some translations say he resolved in his mind what he was going to do. Everything that Daniel and his friends would accomplish sprung out of this moment and the preparation for it. This foreshadows the rest of his future. So let me ask you, church, what do you want and where are you headed right now? Where are your kids, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers, everyone around you headed? Because, watch this, the choices you make right now are the results you're going to have later. They're the results you're going to have later. And I can tell you that I need to work out But until I do, nothing will change. Until I do, nothing will change. What impact are you making right now? The impact you're making right now is the impact that you planned for already. Whatever is happening right now is just what you prepared for. A month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, whatever it is. Whatever we prepared for. If you're not impacting the world around you, the family, the friends around you, it's because we just haven't prepared for it. We just haven't prepared for it. These young men were about to be trained by the most liberal teachers, schools, and culture in the entire world. How did they stand through that? It sounds a lot like our culture and all the things that are going around. How did these young men, 12 and 14 years old, that were trained for 3 years, so what was that, 14, 15, 16, 17, at most 17 years old probably, some of the most influential times of your life, how did they stand through that? Well, I'll tell you, they knew the scripture. They knew the word of God. They knew that the prophet Jeremiah, who was a contemporary of them, said that they'd be in captivity for 70 years. And that's why Daniel knows that they'll be in captivity for 70 years, and he doesn't fight that even. He prays for the return and everything, but he doesn't fight it. He was a 12 or 14-year-old boy who had a family that taught him the scriptures, a family that was watching what was happening in the world around them, just like we are to watch what's happening today in the world around us, in the church that is around us, and his family chose that they would follow God. His family chose that. They were preparing the next generation. Moms and dads, you have two chances to change the world. The first is your life. The second is your kids. And dads, you are so impactful for your family. If you will put God first, and I mean absolutely first, it's almost a guarantee that your kids will too. God has entrusted us with a sacred responsibility. And watch this, it's to be like him. Some people say it's your children or your grandchildren or whatever you're doing. It's just actually to be like him. Because if you're like him, then everything else falls into place. I mentioned in my past that my dad's not perfect. But I will say this, he displayed to me an authentic relationship with God. And I hope one day that like him, my kids will look back and remember me on my knees in prayer. And remember me crying out to save a city with tears streaming down my face. And that's not just because he was a pastor, that's just a Christian. That's just a Christian. That's how we should live. And I know that's hard to hear. I'm preaching to myself right now. What are my kids seeing? What are the people around me seeing? I can talk about all these things. I could preach in front of you, but am I actually doing them? Do I cry out for the city that I live in? God save Wasilla. God save this valley. Where is my heart at? Because if I live here, then I'm called to here. This is where I'm called, not just to this church, but to this whole valley. And until the day we die, we pray for the area that we live in. Because we want to have a heart for that place. But it starts with resolve. It starts with the preparation of heart and mind. Let's prepare to change the world. Let's prepare to take this valley. Let's prepare the next generation to do even more than we have done. I think that's why Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 12, you will do even more greater works than these. Because he laid the groundwork for more things to be done. And as a parent, that is your job. You lay the groundwork for even more to be done. How do we do that? We have to see the world as it is, what the world is doing, and then prepare ourselves in the next generation. And watch this. It doesn't matter if you have kids, grandkids, no kids at all. Your mission, church, your mission, if you get nothing else today than this, your mission, if you so choose to accept it, your mission is, like Paul, simply to prepare the people around you to change the world. And that is a group effort. That is a group effort. All of us are called to be teachers and workers in the church. All of us. You have gifts from God, and if no one else told you, you are an amazing person. You can smile to yourself and just say, I am pretty amazing. God created you that way. Can you just raise your hand and say, yes, I am an amazing person. Just agree with me there. But church, you'll either be used by the world or by God. And watch this. Even if you are a Christian, does not mean that you are being used by God. Let that soak in a little bit. Am I really being used by God with all of my time, my efforts, my thoughts, my emotions? Because that's why I'm here. I'm not here just to work. I'm not here just to have fun, even though like those are not bad things. I'm here actually just to glorify God. That is my purpose. My desire should be that as well. The world, though, is looking for godly people. People that they can trust. People that are trustworthy. And God will use that to affect the world. Watch this. I was reminded in studying of a famous plumber. A famous plumber. Can I get an amen from Rudy? A famous plumber named Smith Wigglesworth, who became a pastor and a revivalist and changed the world, saw miracles happen, but he was a plumber. Watch this. God can turn a heart at the same time we're turning a wrench. Amen. Man, that's another like bumper sticker worthy phrase. You can write that down. God can turn a heart at the same time we're turning a wrench. But church, what are we preparing for? What have we purposed in our hearts? Like Daniel, you can't help where you're at sometimes. You can be in a foreign country stripped of everything. And we mentioned it last week, they even changed the names of these young men. Daniel, which means God is my judge, to Belshazzar, Bel, protect his life. That's a false god. Hananiah, the Lord shows grace. To Shadrach, servant of Aku, the moon god. Mishael, who is equal to God. To Meshach, shadow of the prince or the morning star, which is a reference most scholars believe to Satan. Azariah, the Lord helps. To Abednego, the servant of Nego, the god of wisdom. All these names have godly meanings. Hebrew names for the one true God. Babylonian names for false gods. Church, the world will try to label you as something that resembles God but is not. Resembles God, but is not. What does that look like? That looks like some of these things. That you are to work more to provide for your family when really the world is just meaning for you to not be around to lead your family. Or that you'll get the best education in the world, but you have exchanged it from a godly foundation. What is the world trying to fool you in right now that you are exchanging for what God really wants? Church, we have to make up our minds to follow Christ, Christ alone. Christ alone. The best thing we can do as dads, as parents, is just to follow Christ. If you get that, everything else will fall into place. So it's not all the other things you're trying to reach for and grab. We can narrow it down to one thing. Follow Christ and Christ alone. If you seek Christ daily, your kids will too. Whatever we do in moderation, those following us will do in excess. But it works the opposite as well. So if you are skipping church is a good example. If you skip church probably once a month, your kids will probably go to church once a month. Their kids will probably not go at all or go on Christmas and Easter. And that's just how it works. Because that principle of whatever you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. Whatever you allow slightly in moderation, your kids will do in excess. You see that with everything, not just going to church. You see it with alcohol. You see it with pornography. You see it with everything in our life. Whatever we allow in moderation, we're allowing a doorway that opens farther to the next generation. So we seek Christ daily. You know, the other day, my daughter was referring to church, and she called it home. And I'm okay with that, because I know that she actually just loves church. And that is going to be hard to remove, for the world to remove. She loves being here. She's here all the time. In fact, we thought about letting her stay home a little bit today because she has a swollen face due to mosquito bites. Like, it looks pretty bad. But she was adamant about coming to church. She loves to be at church. And I know that same desire is in me because I got it from my parents. I was always with the fellowship of the brethren, and so that never left me. And I pray it never leaves her, but that's the example I want to give to my children. These are all tests and trials that we walk through. So that first point was resolve and a purpose in our heart. The second point is the test then that we walk through. Daniel's test was involved in standing for what he knew was right in God's eyes. What he knew was right in God's eyes. I'm reminded of when I worked as a valet for a while when I was a very young man. And I didn't think anybody knew, but our tips and things worked on the honor system. And that was the most, like, it was like a waiter or a waitress. You get most finances from the tips you make. And so in order not to be taxed on those, most people would do the lowest amount possible. But I knew that wasn't right in God's eyes. And so I would put in everything to the cent that I got. And I didn't know anybody knew any different. But later, I found out that everybody knew I was the person that was doing that. And that's why my boss wanted to elevate me into a new place. Because the world was looking for someone who would be faithful. And that resulted in, before I left, two Muslim men coming to me and said, "You are different. You treat us differently. You treat us fairly. And we see you reading your Bible on your breaks. What is this Bible? What is this Jesus?" And I'm not sure what happened to those men after those conversations, but I know the door was open just because I was faithful in something small, in what I saw that no one else was even seeing, at least I thought. Daniel chose to suffer rather than have the pleasures of this world. And I'm sure some of you guys could agree with me that giving up food and eating only vegetables would be suffering. But not everything offered to us that seems good is from God. These were delicacies from the king's own table, but most scholars agree that they were probably already have been offered to idols first. I know one author stated that in this culture, sometimes you would spill food on the floor as an offering to an idol. But what would make my toddler and dog happy didn't make God happy. But church, when offered something, a free gift, a promotion, job, whatever it is, make sure that it is from God. Because not everything that seems good is actually from God. What have we purposed in our heart? Have we purposed enough to hear his voice speak in those moments? Daniel was determined to stay faithful. And when we do so, God helps us to remain that way. He strengthens us and or he provides a way of escape. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13. But in this case, it was a way out. Daniel approached overseers that had favored him. And you see, God was already at work in this situation because God is always already at work. We don't see that. I don't always see that. It's when I cry out to God, sometimes it's from a point of like, "God, you probably don't see this, but I'm struggling." Has anyone else been there? But God was already at work. We see this in verses 9 through 14. Here, Daniel asked to be tested. And as the end approaches, in this world, we will be asked to be tested more and more in these things and what is right in God's eyes. Are we prepared to stand in that way? Through the favor that he was given, though, he was able to get out of honoring others' gods. And watch this. I'm going to break this down. So through the way he purposed in his heart, he received favor, which resulted in the way out of the test. The preparation led to the answer. The preparation led to the answer. The way we live matters. And I believe God loved to watch Daniel. It's always been one of my favorite books to read. Like, I've always been very attracted to the book of Daniel and King David. Like, those two men, it's because I want to be like them. Because I know that God watched them. God watched them, and I want to be a person like that. And I don't always succeed in that, but I want to be that type of person. That type of man. Someone that God really loves to watch. And he is drawn to people that love and honor him. And when God is watching you, even if you don't see it, he's in the room. Providing a way through or providing a way out. But it all starts with that purposing of heart. Psalms 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you are struggling with sin or temptation, get more of the word. More of the word in your heart. And so if the more that you get the word in, it'll crowd those other things out. And the more you get in, it'll push those out to where they are not so much of a temptation anymore. And you're walking in the freedom of God, which is just the word of God in you. Because Jesus lives in you and he is the word. Let him live. Let him live in you. And when you combine your resolve and the tests that you're walking through, you get the third point, which is holiness. Holiness is not a word used for God's people much anymore, but is what we are called to all the same. We're called to be set apart, not removed from the trial, the test, or the world, but set apart for use in the trial, the test, and the world. For use, holiness sets you apart, and it foreshadows your future. You see, Daniel chose to be holy before he was tested. He chose to be holy, and that's what comes first. Holiness opens the door for blessing in your life, even in the trials. And to be honest, like in Daniel's situation, I wouldn't mind someone forcing me to eat better and look better than everyone else. Is anyone there? But this might be the worst news you hear today. It's a choice. It's a choice. We are created to look better when we practice holiness. Yeah, think about that. Watch this. We can walk in true joy. Well, when you're walking in joy, you probably look happier. And when you give your worries to God, you don't have those worry lines. Amen? And when you don't have stress because you give it to God, then you don't have that stressful weight gain. Amen? Come on, we're being real, church. But Christians should seem different. We should seem different, and we can all lead by example. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 says, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. God will keep using you when you choose holiness. God will elevate you when you choose to be holy, and that's a choice. We receive holiness from Christ, but in 1 Peter 1:17 it says this, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Church, we represent Jesus on earth. We represent him on earth. The closer we get to God, the more like him we should be. And this should affect every area of our lives. The call to holiness, watch this, is a call to more of Jesus. The call to holiness is a call to more of Jesus. Do we want more of Jesus? And if we lack wisdom, God gave it to Daniel. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Christians, we should live out wisdom more than anyone. We should live out wisdom more than anyone because we get to partner with the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says is actually wisdom. We should be the wisest people on earth. That doesn't mean we're going to be the smartest. But God can give us wisdom in every situation. In verse 19 and 20, it says, these men were found better than any person around them. They were given wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the knowledge arrived at through discernment and the ability of skill to apply it effectively. That's wisdom, to apply it effectively. Understanding is the power of discernment to distinguish between appearance and reality. Wisdom and understanding, these are both things that we should walk in. We should walk in, and the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. He reveals them. We should live them out. God is watching, but he steps in specifically to a room, to someone who is purposed in their heart to be holy and to walk in the wisdom, the understanding, and even the authority of God. It's an important thing to note then, that Daniel remained there. He remained there. Because of what he purposed in his life, he didn't stop being used by God. He didn't stop being used by God. So church, we have some amazing elders in our church. And I mean, if you don't know them, you need to break into the seniors meeting that they do once a month and just glean not only from the cookies and food, but from the wisdom that they just have. And we want to always be a church that combines the youth and vigor with the wisdom of the older people. Because that is actually what a church is supposed to look like. We don't want to remove any generation because then our church would be lacking. Our church would be lacking without you. So God is watching. And Daniel was elevated to positions that he didn't belong in. He outlived kings and empires. He lived to see the first exiles return to Israel. The prophecy fulfilled. He was set apart for future use, and he was used his entire life because he stayed set apart. He stayed set apart. The closer he got to God, the more just set apart he seemed to be. That kings would notice, this man, he has the spirit of the living God on him. He walks in wisdom. Everything he does is just somehow blessed by God. We'll find out in the next couple of weeks, even though he went in through trials of many types, he was still viewed as someone who walked and had the spirit of God on him. Church, do you want that to be you? I want that to be me. Set apart for this moment, set apart for future use, and it all is being stemming from that moment of being set apart that we choose right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come because it's getting hot in here. Amen. But as they come, church, you might be in a position that you haven't really set your life apart. I mean, truly set your life apart for God. Maybe you realize that you have not been preparing. That means maybe preparing your family, preparing your friends, your spouse. Maybe you're not leading well. Or maybe you've talked about that purpose of heart, but your action has not been there yet. And we want to pray for you. Or maybe you realize that you haven't been the greatest parent. You haven't been really like God, and you want to just make a change. You want to live a life of holiness like Jesus. Or there might be sin and bondage in your life. Addiction to pornography, gluttony, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Or maybe you're just not being obedient to God. Whatever the reason this morning is, I want to open up the altars for this main thing, and that's just to get right before God. I think almost every revival started with repentance. And we often think that that is some big thing and it can be scary coming to the altar, but in reality, we all repent probably daily of things that we're working on and in. But sometimes coming down to a place like this gives you the accountability of people seeing you, and that is a good thing. So I'm going to ask you, if you want to live a life of holiness beyond what you've lived at the moment, then I want to ask you to come down to the altar and really dedicate your life to Jesus. You could have been a Christian for the last 30 years and you realize there are some things that you want to get straight in your life. And the team can go ahead and start playing. I'm going to ask you to come now, if that's you, if you want to just dedicate your life to holiness. And on top of that, if you have any other need, we want to pray with you. That could be for healing. That could be for anything else that you might need. We have people up here that would love to pray with you. And then on top of that, if you do not know Jesus, then I would love to pray with you and introduce him, because he is worth every moment. All these things that we've been talking about are hard because narrow is the way, but church, it is worth it. There's a reason why we do it. Jesus is worth it. That relationship with him is worth it. And if you want freedom from your past, if you want to start planning for your future and what God wants you to have, then come down and let's talk with Jesus. The rest of us, can we just stand and begin to worship?
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.